That's good, brother. Take your Bible tonight, please. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I'm glad you're here tonight. Thank you, brother. Brother Clyde is one of those guys. He just does anything, everything. Appreciate it very much. And appreciate your song. I was singing, you must sing it to your kids, don't you? Isn't that great to have a day to sing to your kids? Let's stand and read God's Word tonight. Luke chapter 2. I want to talk to you about if Christ had not been born, then what? When Christ had not been born, then what? And that's a powerful question. And I hope I can answer it tonight. It's nice to see you open your Bibles, hear the Bible leaves moving. Amen. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone, into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. May God have the blessing of the Word of God as He always does. Let's pray. Father, I beg you tonight that you would make this alive. Lord Jesus, that this wouldn't be a sterile service. This would be a service that seeds would be planted and hearts would be changed and lives would be turned over to you. Dear God, there's so much in this world that certainly confounds many people. And many people have a lot of questions. Lord Jesus, I pray you'd help us tonight. May this time be a blessed time as we come together in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There's a poem that was written by Herbert E. House. It's called The Wonderful Story. There's a wonderful story that never grows old, that is new as the morning whenever it's told. It's the loveliest story that earth ever heard. And there's beauty and power in each heavenly word. It's the story of angels and shepherds and kings, of the glory of God and the earth's lowly things, of travelers weary and inn without room, and the birth of a child in a stable dull gloom, of a star hanging low o'er the manger where it lay the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay, of angelic praise ringing out from the skies, and the worship of men where this little child lies. All heaven rejoices, and peace upon earth was the promise of God in the wonderful birth. But the story moves on from manger to cross, where the hope is overwhelmed by unspeakable loss. But the end is not here. He comes forth from the grave, our risen Redeemer Almighty to save. Oh, this be your joy on this blessed Christmas day, with its gifts and its delights and its children at play, that over it all, and for time without end, is Jesus of Bethlehem, Savior and friend. I like that. If. It would be an interesting study if we would study all the ifs of the Bible. According to the Bible dictionary, there's 1,420 of them. Jesus said, if thou wilt. Jesus said, if I be lifted up. Jesus said, if I go away. Paul, in a number of times in 1 Corinthians, he said, if Christ be not risen, if this life only be, we have this hope. Almost every page in the Bible has an if. I like to bring you a message subject on, if Christ had never been born, what then? If Christ had never been born, it would ring out with hopelessness of life and gloom beyond the grave. It would sound like a muffled drum beating a sad funeral march of despair to a final resting place. When the old church bell rings and tolls for the dearly departed one who had passed away, or the honor guard firing the dulling 21-gun salute, or the chilling, haunting echoes of taps when the soldiers lay to rest. Oh, how sad that would be. But I want to tell you something. First of all, Jesus Christ was born. And that is why we have a wonderful text set before us tonight in Luke chapter 1, verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. There is no way a person can be a Savior if he's dead. I asked some people over in Nepal. I said to them, about Buddha, I said, let me ask you a question. Is there a grave of Buddha? Oh, yes. I forget how many they said, like six or seven. There's a chin bone and a skull bone. And I'm not making fun of it. I'm just telling you that he died and there is a grave for him. And I asked him, I said, if there is a grave for him, then how can he be your Savior? You see, that's the difference between our Christianity and your Buddhism. You have no hope. In fact, Buddha told his followers as he was dying, he said, you have to find your own way. Thank God that Jesus rose from the grave on the third day. And he made himself, he showed himself alive. In fact, Paul the Apostle said, at one time there were over 500 still alive that saw the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's proof. You only need two people. How often should we stop and thank God for all he's given to us? Many, many times. No wonder the message was accompanied by the angelic host in chapter 2 and verse 13b, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Angels proclaiming this before the shepherds. And what a glad message they gave. Luke chapter 2, verse 10, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings, great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Of all the days of the year that we look forward to, and Christmas is the most. Have you ever wondered why all the baking, why all the lighted trees and the sparkling tinsel? Why the children's stocking bulging with love gifts from others? The holly in the window, the governmental office, banks, and school closed? Well, that's a blessing, amen. School's closed. We get a day of rest from the strenuous rust of all the materialistic buying in this modern world, and our dear family and loved ones will come back to home and explore the kingdom of love and goodwill. I was reading this thing about this man. He called up his daughter and says, Mom and I, after I forget how many years, we're getting a divorce. And they went crazy on the other phone. Don't you do anything. Don't you do nothing. Nothing. Don't. We're coming. I'm coming. She said, I'm calling your son. And of course, you know, the end of the story is, hey, Martha, guess what? The kids are coming home and they're paying for their own tickets for Christmas. Amen. Don't try it. I don't think that's good. No. Is it not which leads to the hallowed season known as Christmas time? What is there about this season that casts a mellowing spell over all and finds us in a more part very good mood? It's amazing how people open the doors and wish you a Merry Christmas and are kind and gentle. Yesterday, my wife and I, we just thought we'd drive around, so we drove around the mall about 5 times. Let people out, waved at them, you know. They thought, boy, that's really neighbor. Actually, we just want to see the crowd in there. And people were waving. Some guy came and said, hey, how are you doing? I did great. And Mark said, who is that? I said, I don't know. The meanness at Christmas time is out of place. Selfishness is outlawed. Where kindness and giving of gifts is the order of the season. It is all because that angel proclaimed, as Milton put it in his hymn, on the morning of Christ's nativity, this is the month and this is the happy morn, wherein the Son of Heaven's eternal King, a wedded maid and virgin mother born, our great redemption from above did bring. But if there had not been a Savior born, what if there could not have a song like that penned? If Christ had not been born and all the promises given by God of the coming Redeemer, they would be broken. All the prophecies that foretold this great event would fail. All the bright hopes of the ages to come would be shattered. All the bitter disappointment and all the despair. Oh, what a world that we would be living in and walking in ever deepening shadow than even today. If he was to bring life in immortality to light, if he had never come, what then would man have to live for? We would be no more than the beast of the world and the earth. They of Old Testament times had been taught to believe in his coming. He who the prophets had called the desire of all nations, and without this expectancy, they would have lived and worked and died without hope and without expectation. It was this faith that stretched out the hands and stretched them up towards God for thousands of years. If Christ had not been born, we would have never known the real character of God. We would have never known John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. These verses show the true character of God more than any verses in the Bible. And thirdly, if Christ had not been born, the world would still be waiting for a Savior. And you and I would be, as all others, without hope and without God in this world. I'm reminded of the story of 34 men many years ago that were submerged in a submarine called the S-4. They were in a bad wreck. And there were 34 souls imprisoned in the bottom of the sea at Provincetown, Massachusetts. Rescuers were coming from all directions to the SOS's call of the signals aboard the submarine. The United States Navy and the government were doing everything they could to save these men. The only means of communication now was a signal tapping of the Morse code on the hull of that submarine. The message was tapped out again and again by the doomed sailors below. How long will it be now? How long will it be now? Oh, the infinite pity, the heartbreaking despair of it all. How long will it be now? One by one, they faded into eternity and died. Then came painfully the last despairing tap. How long will it be now. The rescuers did their best, but the 34 doomed men in submarine S-4 all died because help did not come. And so it would be the same in the whole world if Christ had not come. For if he had not trodden the winepress alone, and he had not gone on where all deserted him, and he had not risen from the grave after the death, then, as Paul the Apostle says in 1 Corinthians 15:16, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? If Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. 1983, in April, my sons and I were up at Showdown skiing, having a great time in our life. While home, my wife was there, and she received a phone call from my sister and telling her that my mother had passed away. When I got home, Marcia took me aside and said, I got to tell you something. She says, your mama went to be with Jesus. I think that's probably one of the hard things of life when your mama dies. There's nothing like your mama. And of course, being the preacher's son, it was my job to do the sermon. We got on the airplane and started flying back to Michigan, flew into Minneapolis. And on our way across Montana, in over North Dakota, I was in my Bible. I was furiously trying to find something. First of all, to comfort my own soul. And I came to this verse. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. If this is it, if this is all we have in this life, and we'll never see him again, I'll be honest with you, that's most miserable. A couple years ago when that terrific thing that happened to my wife and cardiovascular, her ventricular cardiac arrest, her heart stopped. And the doctor told me, says, Dr. Shear, your wife is not going to make it. I went back to that scripture there, and I said to the doctor, I said, what's wrong with heaven, sir? Not that I wasn't weeping, not that I didn't have crocodile tears come to my eyes, and not that I wasn't watching my three sons when they heard the doctor tell me while they had me over here. My boys all got good ears. They knew what he said. I said, sir, what's wrong with heaven? You see, if Christ would have come, we'd have no hope of tomorrow. I love that scripture, and I quote it constantly. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. Ha! Praise the Lord. You know, heaven's a good place. That's not a bad place. It's a good place. All troubles, all sorrows, all the troubles of life, all gone. All done. No more pain, no more suffering, no more tears, no more needs, no more wants. All taken care of. Absent of the body, present with the Lord. If Christ had not come, we'd not have it. By reason of which, this is why those angels cried out in verse 10. And the angels said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, Christ the Lord. I love this song. Angels from the realm of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. He who sang creation's story now proclaims Messiah's birth. Shepherds in the field abiding, watch o'er your flock by night. God with man is now residing. Yonder shines the infant's light. Sages leave the contemplation, brighter vision being afar. Seek the great desire of nations. Ye have seen his natal star. Saints, before the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear, suddenly Lord descending in his temple shall appear. Come and worship. Come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn king. Hey, I'm glad that I got a good answer for you. He came. Yes, he came. And by the scriptures and the testimonies of men of long ago, he came so that you and I can have our life everlasting. Father in heaven, I pray tonight you'd speak to our hearts. We thank you for all you've given to us. You are such a kind and wonderful God. You're the God who's created all this magnificent universe. And then, Lord God, you bowed down and came to this old blood, sweat, tear earth so that we could have life everlasting, so that we could have a future forever. Lord, we don't have to painfully think about going to hell and paying for our sins. For thou, Lord, hast paid for them all. Thank you, Lord Jesus, from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you, Lord, you who are magnificent. You are who are reigning. You are the King, the Almighty, the Prince of Peace, the power, and the strength, and of God forever. Help us tonight to glorify you in all that we say than we do, and Lord, help us to remember it is not about us. It is all about you, and we just want to bring glory to you. Lord, I pray that anyone here tonight, not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven, that tonight would be the night that they came and said, tonight, I want Jesus to be my Savior. Oh God, help us. And help others who, Lord God, who have kind of walked away and kind of just nonchalantly just keep on going and just seem like nothing bothers them anymore spiritually. Lord, Holy Spirit of God, would you get a hold of their heart tonight? Help us to understand what Christmas is all about. It's all about you. And if it wasn't you who came, we'd have nothing to look forward to. Thank you, Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed tonight. You're here and you're saved. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. But I want to know that tonight. My friend, I'm going to tell you, there's a God in heaven that loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son to die on the cross just for you. And if it was only for you, he would have done it for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you to stand. You're here tonight and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. My friend, I'm going to be down front. If you'd like to come, don't talk when I'm speaking. If you'd like to come and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, oh, what a glorious thing it is to know this great Redeemer. You're here tonight and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'd sure like to take care of that thing tonight. Why don't you come? Let me show you from God's holy word how you can know for sure if you die tonight, you go to heaven. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior, but I have not followed him in believer's baptism. Why don't you come at this time, please? Just come on. You're here tonight and you say, preacher, we want to join this church. This is a church we've been looking at. We need a place to call home. Why don't you come at this time? Again, you're here tonight. You say, preacher, if I were to die tonight, I don't know. I don't know if I'd be on my way to heaven or on my way to hell. Hey, why don't you take care of it tonight? Simple as that.